So just really quick, the work that I'll be presenting today, actually the PI for the project is Dr. Deborah Kalmus, who's unable to attend, so I am presenting our work for her. I do not have any relationships to disclose. Okay, so as you all know, you are here today to listen to us talk about men's access to sexual and reproductive health services. I will be discussing this in the form of a capacity building project. Just to give you a really quick overview of what I'll be talking about today, first I'll give you a little bit of background about how the project came about, sort of an overview of the program development itself. And then I will discuss the challenges and lessons learned, and then we will be discussing the future of the project. So as we had already heard, men tend to seek healthcare a lot less frequently than women. When you factor in unemployment, lack of health insurance, and when you think of the population of men who are re-entering society after being incarcerated in federal prisons, these populations tend to seek out healthcare even less. Their priorities are finding housing, finding jobs, so healthcare sort of tends to fall to the side. So then you might ask, well, then what can we do if there's such a problem? So in comes the Men's Health Initiative. So this is a collaborative between Columbia, the New York Presbyterian Hospital, and the Mailman School of Public Health. And they target low-income minority males. This is the population that is least likely to have insurance and also least likely to seek preventative and other healthcare services. And part of the mission of the Men's Health Initiative is to provide and promote healthcare services to these populations, but also to try to connect them to various services in the community, such as GED programs and workforce development programs. So the center of the Men's Health Initiative is the Young Men's Health Clinic. So this is a clinic that is up in Washington Heights, and it serves men ages 18 to 35. And also, along with the Young Men's Health Clinic, there are community-based and school-based outreach programs. And then there's a big focus within all of these in advocacy and training. So this is sort of where the capacity building model fits in. It's with the community-based outreach, and there's a big focus on the advocacy and training. So just to talk a little bit about capacity building, as many of you probably know, it is a very lengthy process. It takes a lot of time and energy, as opposed to an organization coming in and just saying, here, we will supply you with these services, or we will run these sessions. The capacity building model is more sustainable in that you're giving training sessions, you're training these staff members at the organizations to actually carry out the outreach. We found over this, and I will be discussing challenges and lessons learned, that changes don't happen overnight, and you need a lot of buy-in and a sense of ownership from the organization if you are going to ask them to take on these extra activities. So we have this broken up, the differences, into four categories: relationship to the host organization, outreach planning phase, the nature of outreach activity, and cost effectiveness. So I'm not going to read all of these because that would take a while, but one of the pieces that I thought was really important was that with traditional outreach, as I mentioned, the staff of the outreach organization are the ones who are implementing the outreach, while as with capacity building, it's the organization's staff that are actually running the sessions and doing the trainings, which is very important, especially with this population, because if we were to come in from Columbia and give these health messages to a population of formerly incarcerated men, they might question what, you know, if we haven't been there before, what do we know? So having people that have been there and have worked with the populations was very helpful. So now I'm going to talk about the steps in project development. I'm just going to briefly list these because then I'll go into each in detail. So we had the site selection, then formative research to guide our program design, which consisted of an intervention and intervention materials, an evaluation system and materials so that we were able to monitor. And then also the design of a referral system and staff training. And the data collection is sort of just happening now. So site selection, Exodus Transitional Community. So after a few weeks, a couple months of trying to find a site, we had previously been working with workforce development and GED programs, but we found Exodus Transitional Community, which is located in East Harlem. And the former program director had actually invited us in. He was very big on health and the health initiatives and wanted to really build up their health program. So to give you a little background of Exodus, they facilitate the transition of men into society through these six key life areas. So as you can see, there's employment, education, community, spirituality, family, and health, which are all interrelated. The participants have all been incarcerated formerly in federal prisons, and they go through a week-long orientation. It's every day for a full day, and they have various educational workshops and trainings, and they're focused on these six life areas. At the end of the week, they are assigned to a contract coach, which is the Exodus term for a case manager. And with that case manager, they create a Exodus contract, and on that contract, they have to put together goals for each of these six areas. And then over the next year, the case manager is following up with these participants via phone and personal contacts. So then after we had our site, we needed to conduct formative research. As I mentioned, we had previously worked with GED and workforce development programs. So we needed to do some formative research to understand the mission, goals, objectives of the program, but also to really learn more about this unique target population so that we could better create our intervention. So we conducted interviews with staff and also had ongoing staff meetings. We also had group discussions with participants to sort of get their view on things. We also observed the program and the physical environment to see what we were working with, what could be developed, what could be used there. And also any of the tools and materials we did create, we piloted among staff and participants to make sure that it was something that would work well with that group. And working with the staff was vital for this project. Approximately 75% of staff at Exodus are formerly incarcerated themselves, so they could give us the staff perspective, but they could also give us the perspective of the target population, which was something that we did not have coming into it. So that really helped guide our development of the program. Some of the results we found after talking to participants and staff that a lot of the participants had had negative healthcare experiences while in prison. So this caused them to be closed even more than just the general population of men in seeking healthcare. And also there was a big lack of trust of doctors, which if you can imagine would make it a lot more difficult for you to make an appointment if you don't feel like you could trust the providers. Also, we realized that extended waiting times in a clinic waiting room could be very problematic. One of the examples that we had, one of the staff members had told us while he was in prison, he had had the experience of needing to go to the physician and being moved from holding cell to holding cell, having his name called, going to another cell, only to then be told before he'd seen the physician that his time for the day to see the doctor had run out and he had to go back to his cell. So many of the men see this as sort of a game, psychological kind of experiment that's being conducted on them. So the long waiting times that are typical at many healthcare clinics could be problematic. So that's something that we took into account. Also, after speaking with staff, we realized that these men were sensitive to stigmatization. So in the creation of the intervention materials, we wanted to make sure that what we were putting in our presentation for them would be very applicable, but also wouldn't offend them. So we had originally just been going to present on reproductive and sexual health, and we were informed that it would be very useful to include some chronic disease information as well as some prevention information in these sessions. So the intervention design, the main piece is a health workshop. So as I mentioned before, there's a workshop for each of those different six life areas. So they had already had a health session that was not very well organized. It wasn't run very well. So we helped them with the work of the contract coaches, specifically the contract coach that was assigned to that health session. So we included sexual and reproductive health, chronic disease and prevention information. We also found the need to talk about why it's important for men to seek health care so that we could sort of challenge their barriers. They had different reasons for, oh, this is why I don't want to go to the doctor. So we'd come up with ways for them to overcome these barriers. Another part of the intervention was promoting that a health checkup be the health goal on their contract. That way it could be monitored by the contract coach and there could be some support there. the contract coaches, we set up site visits for them to visit. We're talking in a minute about the referral clinics that we worked with. And so we knew that it would be very important to have the contract coaches visiting the site so that they could confidently refer these men to places that they had already been and to doctors that they had already met. There was much contract coach training, so just on the different health topics, as well as helping them work on their skills of eliciting sensitive information and working with these men, talking about their need to get to the doctor, which many of them did not have these former skills. They're not social workers. They are formerly incarcerated men who are coming back and giving back to the community by becoming case managers at the program. And then we also developed some health messages to put up around the physical environment, which I will show some examples of in a minute. So to really quick give a few sample slides from the health session. So this sort of goes over the why don't some participants want to get a checkup. So you can see here that these are some of the reasons that we had gotten from participants during the formative research as to why they might not go in. And we have counter answers for these. You know, for example, when it says that they don't need a health checkup, the contract coach would counter that with asking, well, were you happy with that health checkup? Would you be interested in going to another one? If they talk about not being able to pay, we can give them referrals to these clinics that are affordable and help them to pay for that. Also, we presented them with the doctors at these clinics, so the young men's clinic, the family planning clinic, because we know that many of these men do have partners who also need health care, and the Helen B. Atkinson Clinic. So then, I'm not going to actually show the video. It's a great video, but it would take up half my presentation. But it was essentially a virtual tour of the clinics. So the men who maybe are a little bit wary of going to the doctor can see, well, this is how friendly the clinic looks. This is one of the doctors that I'm going to meet when I go there. And so they sort of had a sense of already knowing the clinic and knowing the staff members before going. So we found that that has helped ease some of those issues. And then really quickly, in the sexual and reproductive health component, just putting in some information about STDs and sort of a question. This is an interactive session, so with some questions and having them give answers. So here's an example of one of the posters. So this one was just some health messages about men and STDs. Here's one of the young men's clinics. So it has, you can see here, the address, it has the operating hours, and there's also a little map down here. And then this next one, which you'll hear more about in the next session, is the Helen B. Atkinson Center. And again, it has information on how to get there and what's offered. And these were put up all over in the physical environment. So in the contract coaches' cubicles, in the bathroom, next to the computers, just places where men would see them to sort of get a redosing of the information that was in the health session. So then to talk really briefly about the referral system. As I mentioned, we have two clinics that we are partnering with, the Young Men's Clinic, which sees men ages 14 to 35, and then the Helen B. Atkinson Health Clinic, or Health Center, which sees men of all ages. So then the referral system, we designed sort of a warm referral system where contract coaches would be able to work with staff members, appoint staff member at the clinic to work with them in terms of setting up appointments. And so the contract coach would either make the appointment or they could sit with the man themselves. They would give them all the information, give them the phone number, let them know who they needed to contact. And if the man didn't feel comfortable, he could actually sit down and call the clinic point person. The contract coach also, as I mentioned, has a year of follow-up with the man, so he can follow up and monitor his progress, see whether the health goal has been met, whether he's gone in for a checkup, how that was, get some feedback from that. And also, as I mentioned, we do have a point person at these clinics, which was very important, so when the man gets there, instead of having to sit and wait and have that same bad experience that he maybe had in prison, he would be greeted by somebody at the clinic who could give a brief explanation even of, okay, you might have to wait 20 minutes, this is what's going on, you know, we know we're here, you're here, sort of just to ease the tension. And then there's also a Google document that was created sort of as a monitoring device, so this way, there was access from the point people at the clinics, the contract coaches, as well as our staff, to be able to, the contract coach was able to put in the time and the day of the appointment that was made, and then the clinics would be able to check that, know that the man was coming in, and then they could follow up and actually input whether the man kept his appointment. So that was sort of good to know. You might have made an appointment for somebody, they might come back and tell you that they went, but this way we could kind of check that and make sure that things were really happening. And then also it informed us at Columbia whether the appointments were made and whether they were kept, and sort of help us to know whether it was working, what we could do to help. So there's also evaluation involved. The design of the evaluation was a baseline self-administered quick survey right before the health intervention. There was questions on knowledge, attitudes, behavioral intent, types of questions such as whether they had been to a health checkup in prison right before they got out, whether they intended to go in the next few months. And then also 3 months after that initial interview, that initial questionnaire, we conducted 3-month follow-up telephone interviews. And it was very similar questions. There were a few added in asking about the health sessions themselves. And that after the 3-month follow-up interview, we were able to give them some compensation, a money order in the form of $25, just to help sort of thank them for their help with that. So really quickly, primary objectives, the outcomes that we were hoping to get from this, were that men would have received a physical checkup when not sick or hurt. And secondary objectives were that they would have an increased knowledge about the need for health checkups, as well as have more positive attitudes towards seeking health care when they weren't sick or hurt. So first year results, basically things did not work according to how we had wanted them to work, which some of you who have done some work in the field may have had this same experience. So the intervention basically was not implemented as planned. The health sessions were not consistently offered. They were supposed to be once a week. The fidelity of delivery of health session was poor. So even when they were delivered, things weren't necessarily delivered in the way they were supposed to be. Men were not actively being encouraged to make health checkups their goals on their contract, and often men were not referred to partner clinics for care. We only had actually a few referrals coming in. So challenges that led to these lessons learned. Loss of the program director. The director who had invited us in, who was very big on health, he ended up leaving a few months after we had really started work with them. So that was huge. He had been integral to the project. The acting director that came in was not very committed to working with health, so that was a big issue. Loss of a major grant by Exodus. This led to staff cuts and also a heightened workload by the remaining staff members. There was also then strong pressure to document success at their key mandate, which was getting men jobs, so health then again fell to the side. General staff turnover, that made it difficult because we needed to work on that relationship building, getting buy-in from them, and consistently retraining. And then also the individual who had been the first one who had been assigned to work with the health initiative that we were working with, and the one who was running the sessions, had a lot of personal challenges going on, which just sort of made him not suitable for the position. So lessons learned, broken down into 3 groups: administrative, the health session, referrals. We realized we needed to be working a lot closer with the executive director in terms of an accountability system, sort of a checks and balances, not just by the Columbia staff. This needed to be coming from the organization itself. Also, we realized that giving even just some small financial remuneration to the organization was very important. We're asking them to take on new tasks. We needed to be able to help them out somehow. The health session, we realized we needed to add even more content challenging the reasons for not going into healthcare, and also the goal that's set for the health, for getting that health checkup should happen right after that health session when the guys are really animated and excited about health checkups. And referrals, we needed to provide a more clear definition of referrals and what a warm referral was. To us at Columbia, it seemed very clear. We knew what we were talking about. We realized we needed to sort of get that message across to the staff at Exodus better. And also, we realized that all the contract coaches needed to be involved, but the contract coach assigned specifically to health should be the one who was most responsible for making health referrals and sort of checking in on the other contract coaches. So going forward, this next year, they're continuing with the project. The relationship's still going strong. They'll continue with data collection. They'll continue with the health sessions. There is a new health specialist who's committed to the project, connecting men to healthcare. staff support and training, referrals, accountability system, and data analysis. And I've just been told that my time is up. So thank you to all of these people, and thank you for listening to me.